Any better? Can you hear me now?
Can't hear anything now. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Calvin. We'll just watch.
I have a recording. Where was I? I'm going to read Philippians 1 through 11. And it's an account of how Paul sees Saul, his journey from where he once was to where he is now. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, and in regarded to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were my gains were to me, I now consider them lost for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of surprising worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead. Now that I have, not that I have already obtained all of this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward bound in Christ Jesus. I really wanted to start this message in an upbeat note, but I have to remember at this time and raise our prayers and thoughts for our president and the First Lady, and those who are around him. It is somewhat bewildering as to all the things that happened this week. So in an effort to start this message in an upbeat mode, I will say it's a beautiful day. And we are blessed to have family and friends. We have food to eat and a place to live, and many other things that make life meaningful. And we are blessed in a lot of ways. But there are many people who don't have just the basic needs. So I'm going to give you a few little statistics along the way. In 1980, there was about 24 food banks, these are big banks across the U.S., that served about 200 smaller food banks. But today now we have over 200. We went from 24 in 1980 to now 200, which serve about 63,000 affiliated pantries and shelters. These figures could be a little off. Depends on who's calculating them. The average person needs about $22.96 to afford a modest two-bedroom apartment, three times the average federal minimum wage. The average worker pays $440 for health care per individual, $1,168 per family. The average cost of a meal cooked at a home is about $3.02. In some places, it goes about three times that, forcing many households to choose between paying utilities or eating. hunger is everywhere in every community across the United States. The African Americans are 2 times more likely to suffer from food insecurities. Seniors is a fast-growing part of our society that too is growing in food insecurities. The vets is 1 in 4. College students are, it is skyrocketing, believe it or not. Homelessness is on the rise. Just basic needs for a large segment of our society is fast becoming a problem. Depressing. I heard this week about the K model. I kind of had to think a little bit, but it is summer rising up and summer going down, and the middle is going out. Some are doing well, some are not. We are blessed, and I recognize that. After all this, what, I ask, are we going to solve these problems? National School Lunch Program, and some people here I know are probably more familiar with figures than this, but this is a figure that I got. There is 20.1 million free lunches produced every day. And 1.7 million with reduced price. There are more than 94,000 local soup kitchens. That's just one little aspect of it. There are probably, I'm guessing, millions of small organizations that don't even hit the radar screen that are producing food to solve our problem. Is expanding these these programs, is that what is going to solve our solutions? Is another solution having another presidential debate? That went real well, I see. I rested assured with assurance after that, for sure, right? Yeah. I don't always see things as black and white. And I may ask questions that maybe I shouldn't. But this week I asked a question to my siblings. We have a group text. And we were talking about other things, but I put this in there after Friday morning, after the president, Donald Trump, tested positive for COVID. And I said, can this be seen as divine punishment? I was amazed at the reaction that I got. It certainly wasn't positive. So I ask you, do you believe in divine intervention? So if you see it one way, do you not see it the other way? So,
karma?
Yeah. You reap what you sow. That's what I said. Okay. I'm not saying everything is divine punishment or divine information in our lives. I merely ask the question, can we see that in this issue that is before us and the president that is at hand? What do you think? Can it be or can it not be? Or is it just a happenstance that come by? I wonder, what will be the outcome of it? I have been saying for some time that this administration needs to have a King Nebuchadnezzar event in their life. If you're not familiar with the story of King Nebuchadnezzar in the Old Testament, he was a very powerful leader of his time. He controlled a large segment of the Middle East, and he got haughty, and he put himself up above God, and one day God said to him, "You're going to be lowered." And he went out and he lost his mind and he went out into the pasture and ate with the animals for a time. Until such time he recognized God that was more superior than him. That there was a power more superior to him and he got his senses back, and he was a great king after that. His son was not always the best either. He had to learn a lesson too. So divine punishment is in the Bible, everywhere. I was amazed how, even though people think of God will infiltrate their lives in a positive way, but don't see it in the opposite way. I also the idea, most of my siblings are on the conservative side, and so no one wanted to see their candidate being divinely punished. It was tough for them to grasp the whole of that. I wondered if it wasn't the other way around. Go ahead.
You're calling this divine punishment?
I didn't say it was. I only asked the question.
And it is a blessing in disguise, even with the king.
Yes.
Maybe it was a learning lesson. Maybe it really turned out to be a blessing. So how do you call it punishment?
Well, that's usually what punishment is. You end up, punishment is discipline, so you come out the other end being better. So it started off with punishment, but it ended up with a blessing. The outcome is yet to see as far as how the president is going to react to all of this. We're not sure. Is there other examples? Well, in today's example of the reading of Paul, wouldn't you say that Paul being struck down, the story of Paul on his way to Damascus, he was a person who was he was a Pharisee of a Pharisee. He was a top-notch Jew. He was very educated. He was very zealous for the traditional ways in which he lived. And he went out and he persecuted the early church. I tried to find a place where he actually killed Christians, but he was at the stoning of Stephen, and he held the garment, but I'm not sure if he was actually involved in throwing stones. There's a questionable there. But he definitely went out and rounded up the early, they were called the followers of the way, and he rounded them up under the authority of the Sanhedrin and the high priest, who had the authority to give to Paul, or Saul at the time, to persecute the church, or the early believers. But on the way to Damascus, he got struck down by a bright light, thrown to the ground, and he asked the question, the story says that Jesus spoke to him through this bright light, and he says, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Paul looks up and says, "Who are you, Lord?" He didn't know. And he was transformed. But he was blind for 3 days. He got thrown to the ground. And so, in an effort to convert Paul, was not he given some type of punishment for what he did? He had a jolt in his life that changed him. Wasn't that considered to be divine punishment? Depends on how you see it. Say he went on and he was a changed individual. He was a very passionate individual. And God used him. I see that as somewhat of a divine intervention into Saul's life.
Intervention is different than punishment.
You just don't like the word punishment. So intervention, where it stops you in your tracks and throws you to the ground or does something to your life to change it, that's not considered to be some kind of discipline to you?
It's not punishment, I don't think.
When my parents spanked me, would they...
Different punishment.
Discipline? Well, no one's saying that punishment...
Well, punishment doesn't sound good.
But punishment is part of the learning process. Now, I know you were a good student at school and you never got spanked and none of that, but some of us did. So, Did I like it? I felt that like that was like, ouch. I deserved it. I deserved the punishment, right? So you say, I deserved
that.
No, I'm not saying that's divine, but I'm saying you're equivocating on the word punishment. Discipline.
The Lord that God punishes in order to get us to learn something.
How do we know? Well, that's a yes.
How about poetic justice?
What a way to gloss it over. You can call it whatever you want, but it's punishment.
Could be.
Wow. You're about as stubborn as some of my siblings were. The problem I had with some of my siblings was that then they immediately thought that everything that happened in their life was divine intervention or divine punishment. There are tragedies that have happened in people's lives that are not considered to be divine punishment. Discerning what is and what is not is definitely a problem. How do you know? I agree with you, Colleen. How do you know you don't? How can I say that what is happening to the president right now is divine punishment? I can't. I can merely ask the question and observe how things play out.
So anybody that gets it is punished.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying, I only look at, because I'll get to you, Connie, in a second. I'm only using that in this administration because this person has lots of power. And the effect of what is the outcome of that will be tremendous. How he responds and his administration responds will affect a lot of people's lives. So he has a lot of power, just like King Nebuchadnezzar. Connie.
I think there's great division, and that is not a good example to use at this time in this country.
I mean, I shouldn't have used that example?
Right.
Should I glossed it over and made it some other example?
I think using any human as an example, living human, is a disservice to what God wants, because we're deciding. God isn't.
God is deciding it. I'm only asking the question. That's all I did.
But you're trying to
argue someone until you want somebody to say, yeah, it is.
No, I want you to give me your opinion. Yes or you don't say yes or no, maybe. Okay, it's fine.
Your point is well taken, though, that we always tend to think of divine intervention as being a blessing or something positive.
Yes.
That's intervention. That's not punishment.
But it starts out as being something less than a blessing.
So anybody that gets cancer is being punished?
You're doing just what my siblings did. No. No. I'm not saying that at all.
Yeah.
No. No.
No. Yes.
I disagree with you two ladies. I don't think that's what he's saying at all. I think it's because the president has so much power, and he's been, you know, just bashing the whole COVID idea so long. Is it divine intervention that now he has it?
Intervention, I say that. That's not punishment. That's
well, punishment is that he got sick.
Huh?
Punishment is that he got the virus.
Hey.
So,
Jesus as being a person who took on the punishment that we are otherwise got, that are just rewards?
No, I think he took that on Cleveland.
Yeah, but he still took it on.
Yeah, that doesn't mean it was a punishment from God. He took that on.
Well, it depends on how you see that. Didn't Jesus take on our what our just well our justice, and so that we wouldn't get it. We would end up in heaven rather than being punished in hell.
But I thought you said there was no hell.
I have to use terminology that you're going to understand, Connie, in order for me to move an idea, even though I may not. That was one of what my siblings said. Look, you believe in forgiveness, forgiveness, grace, and mercy. Why are you talking about divine justice? Well, because even though like Paul, I push towards that mark of forgiveness, grace, and mercy, and I know I'm not there, I still have to look at divine justice and how that still plays out in the world today. Now, no one's going to tell me that we don't see divine justice playing out in this world around us. I think you're naive to think that it's all made up by man, that it's all contained within the human heart and the human soul, and that has no connection, no spiritual connection whatsoever. It does.
But what we see or think we see as divine justice is different from Bruce and Bertson. I mean, what I see as divine justice, you don't, and what you think you see, I don't.
That is an issue. Now, I will tell you that there are faiths that right this very moment who look at the COVID as being God's punishment on humanity. That is being preached. I'll guarantee you, I know it is. I've been told that's being preached. That is divine justice on humanity because we allowed gay people to marry and we have abortions and they have a whole list of things. I mean, the two prime things. So therefore, God is punishing us by giving us the coronavirus. Do you believe that?
No, because sickness has always been around, and while it is terrible in this country, it is not as deadly as the Spanish influenza was. So I think we're just experiencing a blip in the world.
So in Galatians 6, Paul writes, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A person reaps what he or she sows." So I brought up the idea in our conversation that karma is in play. Well, right away they wrote back and said karma is not a Christian principle. On and on it went. So what is not karma? Yes, karma in the sense that it's an Eastern religious. Religious idea, but can't we see the idea of reap what you sow?
I think we see life as it's the same, but using the word karma makes it sound
Eastern.
Eastern. In essence, it's the same.
But I was told, and I've told many times, by a church not too far from here, even as a conversation I have with my siblings. You can't use karma. I can't use evolution because they get upset. Things change, but they don't evolve. I've been told that quite a few times. I have to use a certain set of language in order to convey my idea within the Christian church. Not necessarily here, I was hoping anyway.
Hey, most of it's okay.
Most of it's okay. But I can't use a present-day example.
Not the one you chose. There's too much division in the country at this time as is.
But the thought has certainly crossed my mind, for sure.
Mine too.
See, Connie? What can I say?
But there's two different camps within this church as well.
Do what?
There's two different camps of thought between...
I thought one of the things that you said many times was that we, even though we think differently, we come together and we still appreciate the idea that we think differently. I can appreciate that you don't like what I'm saying. I understand it.
I don't care for what you were saying, but it's also a political thing, and we're in a church.
But can
politics have no business here. Because they're too divisive.
So how would you apply that to the opposite side of the aisle and that disagree with you? Would you, if things happen the opposite way, would you say that maybe divine justice happened in that way?
No, I would say that, as many would say for the current president, he's worked so hard and done so much that he has let him, his immune system has gone down and now he has managed to catch it. It is, you want me to say that the other candidate isn't right in his mind? Is that divine justice?
No, I'm saying if the shoe was on the other foot, would you
that's
say?
That's what I'm saying. The shoe is on the other foot. When I say the other candidate is not right in his mind, is that divine justice?
No, it's just wrong.
That's comparing apples to oranges, in my opinion. That had nothing to do with this present situation. That was happening well before coronavirus, so that's comparing apples to oranges.
It's politics has no place in the church, and an example like that, while it does convey what your convictions are, it is not a good example for a church to put out there.
I try to be as current as I can, and I understand your point about politics, and you're affected by it because I assume that that is a candidate and the side that you support. And so I appreciate the fact that you're pointing that out to me, but yes, I still have to, in some ways, be very up to date in the message and apply it in a way that is current right here. Whether I say a lot of things that people don't like, and believe me, I hear it all week.
Yes, but that's why we had the division of church and state. The church doesn't have a right to dictate to the state. The state does not have a right to dictate to the church. Neither one should meddle in what the other is doing.
I think my using an example that is currently happening is without politics.
How about one from England?
Yes.
What happened?
Boris Johnson
got
outed the virus and its validity. He got,
was that divine justice?
No. But as a result of having that, he was served by two immigrant nurses in the hospital. And he has had a distinct change of mind
right. On
immigration and their place in British society. Was that divine intervention, a divine punishment first that became a positive from my point of view? Or was it just divine intervention without that had two phases to it?
I agree it's divine intervention about the punishment. I mean, protection is a key problem, but the punishment, sometimes you say, well, I'm going to have to give you a learning experience.
So you can only have intervention in a positive way?
Punishment is like a fear factor, and I don't think that works for anybody.
I don't see COVID as a divine punishment, period.
I will go with Carol's example of Johnson, and I agree with the premier, that is premier, president, whatever they call him over there,
prime minister, that
he definitely was changed after the event, and that's the point that I want to drive. Even though it is seen, it can be seen as punishment, it only lasts for a short time. My butt only hurt for a few minutes after I got spanked. But I learned something out of that learning curve was carried out for a long time. The same way with our leaders, who flauntedly disregard the science, as Mr. Johnson did over in England, and he got sick. He does totally change his mind, like Carol said. He is more open to a lot of different things. He had a transformation from where he was because he got sick to where he is now. And that is the hope that I have with the current administration. I hope and pray that he will come out in the administration and this will be a positive thing. I do not pray for the destruction of Donald Trump. In no way. I do not hate the Republican Party, nor do I hate Trump. But I do think that we can have a learning curve of what is happening in our current, right now, and leave politics out of it, and learn and look at it with an open mind.
I was a Democrat for 40-some years. I think I'm pretty open-minded for the most part.
Your question is still a sound theological question.
It is.
That's completely apart from politics.
Yes.
Yes, which means leave the politics out and use the example.
Well, we can use Boris Johnson.
You make a point. How do you separate politics and religion?
You don't.
I don't know if you did. We have a person that's going to go, a candidate to go to the Supreme Court. How are we to separate, how is she going to separate her Catholic background to with the issues that she's going to have to look at? How does that happen?
It don't. I mean, it's,
how does that happen? Why do we have two different parties if everybody's going to go by the law?
We're getting totally confused as the separation of church and society. What has always traditionally been said is that the state does not have the right to impose religious beliefs on citizens. It does not say that citizens don't have a right to have their own moral beliefs. I can believe whatever I want, but it's unconstitutional for me to impose my beliefs on you.
Yes, right. And the state cannot do that.
Right.
Yes. But we have one of the problems that I have in this church is because everybody thinks different. Just what arose just right now. In most churches, they're all in one accord. So you speak one thing and everybody says amen. And they go out the door. And you don't speak nothing that they don't want. This is a church that has a big, broad perspective. And so I have to speak to everybody. I can't just speak to just one, the ultra-liberal or the ultra-conservative. I have to speak across the board. So I use this example as one learning curve for us that we both, on both sides of the aisle, can do. Divine punishment, divine intervention. It goes across all political boundaries, all theological differences, and it can be examined by a present-day example. Most, if not all, interventions end up with a positive outcome that I read about in the Bible, especially in even modern-day things. There was a story, I wrote it down for a couple other messages. It was during World War II. Bob may give a little clarity to this, but the soldiers were caught in France, and they wanted to go over into England, across the English Channel, and there was fog for 7 days, or quite a few days, which allowed them all the troops to go over into England. Huh? Dunkirk? Yes. So it was thought that God intervened and brought the fog and held the fog in there to keep the Germans confused and allow the soldiers to escape over into England. That was a big example that God intervened. But from the Germans' perspective, it was punishment. But from the England side, or from the West, it was seen as a good intervention. So it depends on which side of the perspective you're on. In this case, you were upset because I used it because you support that particular person.
But then you're saying that he basically deserved
No. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that for 1 minute. I'm merely raising the question. You're adding all the other things.
You're implying.
No, I'm not. I only ask the question, can we see this as that? You and all this other clamors, just like my siblings. Rather than answer the question, Connie, you diverted it to everything else, just like my siblings did. They would refuse to answer the question.
No, she don't see it.
She don't think it is.
Huh?
She don't think it is.
Well,
okay.
I don't think that we as mortals, humans, can interpret anything as a divine intervention or divine punishment, because we're putting our own slant, our own experience into the matter, our own prejudices. So it doesn't, what one sees as a divine intervention, another one, as you gave
yes.
with the example of the English and the German. It was a punishment, but the other side thought it was divine intervention. So I believe that there are extreme examples like that, but then I can also see that there's two points of view to it, which brings me to my point. We as humans cannot assign divine intervention or divine punishment to anything with accuracy or...
It's all based on faith.
It's all based on...
Faith.
Not faith. Our own experiences, our own prejudices.
And our own capacity of what we see for ourselves that we project out and we get back.
Okay, so if all of us, I'm going to change the subject in a second and I'm going to quit. how do you determine whether or not that you had divine intervention, where an angel came and touched you and talked to you, and how do you have the assurance of that?
Or your beliefs.
Your beliefs.
I believe
what you believe.
Angels touching and changing. I had one talk to me once. When I had my accident, I heard very clearly, don't move your head. It's going to hurt later, but you're going to be fine. Just don't move your head.
How do you, I'll change it, I'll move the subject to the last point that I want to make. How do you teach that experience? Is experiences such as that, and we all have them, teachable? Can we look at them and say, okay, this is my experience. I want to explain it in a way that you understand it, you accept it, so that you can experience it.
You'll have doubters. You'll have people that totally won't believe you. And you'll have those that have had something along those lines and will believe you. I don't think you can teach it. They have to basically experience it or have
Have the belief.
We're back to your beliefs.
Right.
Goes back to faith. And that's what Paul's emphasis was all through his teaching. It was about faith in Jesus Christ, in the experience that each one of us would have personally. I can't go back and have Paul's experience. I have to have my own experience, as each one of us do. The central key thing in the Christian faith is, or a Jesus faith, is an experience. The individual's experience that they have when they come to the cross, or when they believe, when they accept by faith, that is what is important. What? Yes?
It is teachable, though. I think Connie sharing that experience is a teachable moment. There are going to be people disbelief, but on the other hand, if it prompts people to think about it, you know, it's well worth knowing, well worth sharing.
And if you believe a person is credible that it happened to you, it's a kind of a teaching, maybe you'll experience. I believe you. I believe that happened to you. So
So prove it to me, Connie.
I'm alive and I'm moving and I'm walking.
All right, we're going. I will close again as I started with the fruits of the Spirit. And I think if one of the key things that Paul taught was being directed by the Spirit and the freedom that that allowed a person to do outside of a traditional structure of thought. You were guided by the Holy Spirit to do whatever it directed you to, and it gave you the freedom to do that across cross cultures and cross ideas. But you had to have the fruits of the Spirit, as Paul listed them, and I will close with this. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, that's tolerance, I guess, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control.
I get the point.
And what he says is, against these things, there is no law. There is no law that says to you how much goodness you can have, how much love you can have. These are things that come out of the soul and out of your spirit, and you exhibit them. Brings us to the time of communion. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took a loaf of bread and he broke it and he said to his disciples, "Eat all of you, for this represents my body, broken for all. May our sins be forgiven." And again, Jesus took a chalice and poured some wine into it and he said to his disciples, "Drink all of you, for this is my life poured out and given for all, a new life. Help us, O God, to live this new life." We are commanded by Jesus, as often as we eat this meal together, to remember and to reflect on God's goodnesses and mercies. In God's Holy Spirit, we are to share this meal together as we gather until the time we can eat this meal, each one of us face to face with our Lord. and we lift up our joys and concerns.
Hey, Calvin, I don't know if y'all can hear me. We're having difficulties hearing you. I just wanted to interject a couple of things. We have two birthdays this week, Gary Hickey and Colleen Yoder. So I just wanted to say happy birthday, y'all.
Happy birthday. Meg. That's good. I'm glad. Any others?
Linda Hughes.
Oh, that's right. Linda Hughes. How's Amber and all them doing? Billy and all them?
Billy's had a couple bad days, but it's been.
Any others? Glad to see Dick and Tony are back here with us. Safe journey, that's for sure. Any others? We want to remember our president and, and all those who are around him that have COVID.
Kevin.
Yes.
Would you move the computer?
I'm sorry, Annie.
Thank you.
You doing okay, Annie? That's good. I read your lips. Any others? I hit a deer on the way home with my truck. First time I've hit a deer in quite a while. I was thankful that it just was one big bang. That's usually what happens. But it did do some damage on my truck. I was thankful that it didn't, you know, do any more, and I didn't get hurt for sure.
Didn't help the deer.
No, that was done. But it did wake me up. And I was contemplating divine punishment. Okay, let us join our hearts and minds together in prayer. We pray to God, who some call mystery, beyond all definition, that when in the midst of uncertainty, may we know faith. When in the midst of anxiety, may we know serenity. When in the midst of stress, we may know calm. When in the midst of fear, may we know trust. When in the midst of bewilderment, may we know assurance. When in the midst of confusion, may we know confidence. When in the midst of pandemic, may we know peace. When in the midst of whatever, may we know love. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege of coming together. We don't always think the same way, but in our hearts we have love for one another, and I thank you. I thank you for this privilege of this church in which we can share, we can disagree, and we can agree. Thank you. We do that in the fruits of the Spirit. We can have passion. We can have conviction. We can have drive and zeal, and that's okay. Lord, I lift up the President, President Donald J. Trump, and the First Lady as they go through this time. My prayer, Lord, is that he is healed and that he learns a learning experience for all our nation that he may share with each one of us. Most of us need to learn life's lessons in various different ways. It is a learning curve for all of us to learn. Help us to forgive each one of us as we go through these times. Every one of us makes mistakes. Every one of us falls short. Every one of us says and does things that are not necessarily always good. Forgive us. We ask you to be with Meg's father as he's going through this time. Wrap their family with your arms of love and be with them. Linda, who is struggling, Linda Hughes, where some decisions need to be made, be with the doctors and the family as they make them. Amber and Billy also. Connie's granddaughter, who had an accident and is safe, thank you. I'm thankful that myself, as I travel and I hit a deer this week, thank you for watching over me. I thank you for watching over each one of us. Lord, just be with us. There are birthdays, Colleen, and the other person that I forgot, Lord,
Jerry.
Thank you. Be with them as they celebrate this time. Lord, we are in a time of great uncertainty with the election, COVID. Somehow, Lord, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, we believe. Help us to see that light. Help us to do what is right for one another. If that means wearing a mask, social distancing, and giving up some of the things that we normally would do. Protect each one of us, Lord. Bless us. And ask this in Jesus' name. Join me now in the Lord's Prayer. Loving God in heaven, hallowed is your name. When your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand now for the benediction if you can. May God bless you and keep you, and may God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you, and may God look upon you with kindness and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.
Take care, folks. You all have a good time.
I'm
huh?
Drunk.
everything. You can be there from Jackson, and I can be there from Wellsboro. You can be there from Wellsboro. I hate that you can't be in the congregation, you know, in the sanctuary. Can't, is there any way to...
There's not any good way, and this is fine.
Well, thank you.
I'm sorry that we didn't have good technology today.
Well, we got to be there for most of it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Shane. It's worth keeping.
Amen.
Did you get any of that?
Nashville is a special place.